I'm going to talk to you for the next few minutes about godly desires. Godly desires. Psalm 37, let's go ahead and start reading in verse 1. Verse 4 is really where we want to get, but let's just flow into it. He says, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." Well, sometimes we get all caught up in being so concerned that people are not serving God and they seem to be blessed. They seem to be doing well. They seem to have plenty of money and do whatever they want to do. But you know, he says, don't fret about that. Don't be envious of the people who are not living for God. He says, one day they'll be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. You have to realize their eternal destiny is different than your eternal destiny. When you think about eternity, our time on this earth is so short, we don't have time to get concerned with people who aren't living right. It's kind of like my grass in the yard, probably like your grass. It's getting pretty brown right now, isn't it? It's withering up and dying off. And one day, you see, that's the eternal destiny of people that aren't serving God. So we don't need to get concerned. He says, don't get all caught up in worrying or being concerned about why is it that some people are prospering and they're not serving God. You just think about what you've got to do and following God for yourself. And he says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Feed on God's faithfulness. How many of you know God is a faithful God? And when you serve God, God's hand of blessing will be on you. When you're obedient to Him, you count the things important that He counts important, and God's hand of blessing will be on you. And His faithfulness, He is a faithful, dependable God. How many of you say, God is a dependable God? Say that together. God is a dependable God. He's faithful, and He'll come through. Then He says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. In verse 4, he says, delight yourself also in the Lord. Now, what does it mean to delight yourself in the Lord? I'm going to be talking about godly desires and how to get God's desires in your heart and have a hunger for God in your heart. How do you get God's desires in your heart? How do you get your heart to line up with God's heart? Well, one way, he says right here, is to delight yourself also in the Lord. Now, what does the word delight mean? Delight means to take great pleasure. That's one definition of it. To take great pleasure. How many of you are married this morning? Well, was there ever a time that you were pursuing your future husband or future spouse? Did you delight being around them? Was it a delight to be in their presence? Was it something that you enjoyed? Hopefully it's something you still enjoy, but since you now live together, you don't have to pursue them as much because they're just there with you. But the delight was in being around them and being in their presence. We were at a meeting this last couple of days down in Alabama, and one of the ministers was talking about people make excuses not to go to church. And he said, you know, if you really love Jesus, you want to be in His presence no matter what. He said, when I was pursuing my wife-to-be, he said, I never called over and said, honey, I'm not going to come over and see you tonight because forecast is it might rain. So I'm not going to come over. He said, I never called and said, well, it's kind of cold out. And he lived in Michigan. He said, it's cold up there. He said, by the time he'd walk to her house, he'd have icicles hanging off his ears. He said, I never called and said, well, it's kind of chilly out. I don't believe I'll come over. No, he delighted to be in her presence. And he would do anything to be around her. And so he set aside everything else and wouldn't let anything stop him because he wanted to be in the presence of God. And I realized you don't have to come to church to be in the presence of God, but that's what he was talking about. He delighted in her, in his future wife's presence. And I believe we ought to have that same kind of a hunger and a desire to be in His presence. This is what David said in Psalm 122:1. He said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I remember when I was in college, we were in college together at Oklahoma State University. And on Saturdays in the fall, when we would have a home football game, when we would get up and we'd go outside and begin to think about what we're going to do that day. Most of the games were at 1:30 in the afternoon in those days, and there was an excitement, an electricity in the air. And Oklahoma State's no big, great football powerhouse, but still, just the excitement of a home football game was something you could almost feel. So you'd get up in the morning, we'd go out, we'd usually meet and go to breakfast at McDonald's. We'd have, the real expensive breakfast. When you're in college, you don't have much money, so we'd have the pancakes and sausage for $1.99, and that was our meal before the football game. But it was exciting. All these people are coming into town, and you see more and more people coming. It gets closer and closer to game time, and everyone's wearing their Oklahoma State jerseys and their shirts and their coats, and everyone's excited about what's going to happen. And I was thinking, that's the way David was. He said, boy, I tell you what, I get excited when we talk about going into the house of the Lord. And we ought to get excited about coming to church. How many of you think we ought to be excited about being in church? We ought to come to church to meet God. We ought to come to church to hear from God. We ought to come to church to worship God and tell Him how much we love Him and appreciate Him. And you can do all that at home, but there's a special excitement when a whole group of believers come together, isn't there? It creates an atmosphere of praise, an atmosphere of fear where God can begin to move and to do things as we create an atmosphere for Him to be able to work. And I believe that one of the things that we have to do to get God's desires inside of us so that our desires match up with His desires is we've got to learn to delight ourselves in the Lord, to be in a place where we enjoy being in His presence. It's not a drudgery to go to church. It's not a drudgery to open our Bible and read it. It's not a drudgery to put on a praise CD and begin to worship God, but it's something that we enjoy, something that we like. You know, I remember I would go fishing with my dad in the spring, just about every weekend, and I would wait for him to get home from work on Friday. And I'd have everything lined up in the garage. I had a little checklist that I had made, and everything we had to take. Here's the ice chest, and here's the food, and here's everything that we had to take to load up in the pickup. So as soon as he got home, he'd come in, change clothes, and by the time he's finished changing clothes, I've got everything in the truck, and we're out of there. There was an excitement from the time I'd get home from school until he got home from work. There was an excitement about being with my dad, going fishing, going to the lake. That was an exciting time. And I believe we have to have that same kind of excitement about being in the presence of God. And he says, if we will do that, then it says he will begin to put his desires inside of us. He says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. He shall give you the desires of your heart. See, when we delight ourselves in God and spend time in God's presence, God begins to mold us. He is the potter, and we are the what? We're the clay. So we don't tell God what to do. God tells us what to do. And when we're in His presence, then He begins to mold us and make us into His image and begins to shape us and form us in the way that He wants us to be. And the Bible says here that when we delight ourselves in Him, then He will begin to actually put His desires and change our desires. Now, how many of you have been saved more than, say, 5 years? Is there anything at all? Would you agree? Are there some things that used to be of great importance to you before you got saved that are no longer important to you? Maybe you say that? Well, what happened? God began to change your heart, didn't He? Began to change your desires, began to change the way you think. A lot of times people say, well, you can't change somebody's will. Well, you certain God can. If He can't change someone's will, why would we ever pray for anybody? Now, He can't make somebody get saved. He can't make people do what He wants them to do, but He can sure put a lot of pressure on them to go that direction. And that's what prayer does, especially praying for the lost. You're putting pressure on them, sending laborers across their way to bring them the gospel and putting pressure on them to see the goodness of God, because the goodness of God brings people to repentance. And so when we delight ourselves in the Lord, then He begins to change us from the inside out. From the inside out. And that's where a lot of people miss it in the world. They think that Christianity means you do certain things to please God, and that's what it means to be a Christian. And that's not what it means. Being a Christian means that you humble yourself before God and say, I need your help to change. I can't do it on my own. So Jesus, come into my heart, make me a new person, and then begin to change my heart. Change me from the inside out. And many people struggle their whole life trying to do enough good things. And you hear people talking, and I ask people this sometimes, do you know you're saved? In fact, when I give invitations here many times, I'll say, do you know for sure if you were to die tonight, you'd spend eternity in heaven? And a lot of people would answer that question, oh, I don't know. I hope so. but I don't know. And the Bible says this. It says, these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. I believe you can know you have eternal life. I believe you don't have to go through life wondering, I don't know if I've been good enough or not. Don't know if I've done enough good things. I hope my good things outweigh the bad things. And maybe when I die, the good things will let me just slide on in there. And many people go through life like that, wondering, did I do enough good? Was I a good enough person to earn my salvation? And they don't understand that salvation is a free gift. And God begins to work on us from the inside out. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. God works inside of you to begin to mold you and shape you, to change you from the inside out. And so people that you know perhaps that maybe they're Christians and they're not really living for God, I believe God can begin to change them. Maybe you're a Christian and you haven't been living right. Maybe you just come to church every now and then and maybe it's not an important thing to you. I believe God can change your heart. I believe He can change your desires, can mold you and make you into a different person. And the struggle that we have many times, that many people have, is they think, I just don't know how I could change. Well, I've got good news for you. You don't have to do it on your own. When you come to the place where you humble yourself before God and say, God, I need your help. I can't change on my own. I'm struggling trying to get over these things. I need you to help me. Well, that's the time when His power comes on the scene and begins to mold you and make you from the inside out. Instead of trying to do the things on the outside, we let God change us on the inside. And what's changed on the inside then will work its way to the outside. In fact, that scripture in Philippians 2:13, the scripture right before, talks about how we're supposed to work out our own salvation. Let what's inside of you work its way out to the outside so that what God's already done on the inside begins to manifest itself in the way that you live, the way that you talk, the things that you do. God's interested in changing you on the inside and working the things out that He's putting inside of you. Now let's read the next verse there in verse 5. He says, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Now these two scriptures go together, the two verses go together. So He says, first of all, you delight yourself in the Lord. And after you delight yourself in the Lord over a period of time, then I begin to put my desires inside of you. God begins to put His desires inside of you, begins to change you from the inside out, and your desires begin to line up with His desires so that you want the same thing He wants. And then after you've got His desires on the inside of you, then you take those desires that He's put on the inside of you and you commit those to Him. You commit your way to the Lord and you trust also in Him. Now the word commit means to pledge or to assign to some particular course or use. To pledge or assign to some particular course or use. So once you get the desires in your heart and God begins to show you in your heart and change some things inside of you so that you want to do the right things and you want to be changed into His image, then you commit that to Him and you say, all right, God, I see what You want me to be and I see what You want me to do. Now I need Your help. I'm committing this to You. I'm pledging to You that I'm going to go Your direction if You'll help me to get there. He says, if you'll commit your way to the Lord and trust also in Him, then He shall bring those things to pass. Bring what things to pass? The desires that He put in your heart so that your heart matches up with His heart. See, that's the place where we all should want to get, to where instead of we struggling every day wanting to figure out what the will of God is, we want to get to where we're so close to God and so close to His heart and so much have spent so much time in His presence and put so much of His Word inside of our heart and our mind that we just know what His desires are. And then it just leaves us to want to pray for Him to change us and to help us to see those desires come to pass. I believe this. I believe that we can be so close to God that His direction can come so simply that it's not a difficult thing, but it's just like understanding this is what God wants me to do. I know this is what He wants me to do because I want to do it myself. Are you getting this? I'm saying He can change your desires so much that your desires, your very want to, your will, the things you want to do, are the same thing He wants you to do. And that's one way that God can put His plan and purpose in your heart and direct you and guide you, is by causing your desires to line up with His desires. Many times people that struggle to find God's guidance And they'll talk to me, and I ask them, you know, well, have you been in church regularly? Is it a regular thing for you to go to church or just hit and miss? Okay, you're regularly in church. You come Sunday morning. You come Wednesday night. You read your Bible every day. You're praying regularly. Do you come and enter into worship? Is that a part of you? You're in His presence? If the answer to all those questions is yes, I'm doing everything I can to live for God and study His Word and be in church, then I say, well, what do you want to do? If you're faced with a decision, what do you want to do? And some people might say, well, is that how you find out the will of God? That's one way, if you meet the requirements in some other scriptures I'm going to show you here. That's one way to find out. I say, what do you want to do? Because that's a way that God can lead you and guide you. He puts His desires in your heart so that you're wanting to do the same thing that He wants you to do. And then when you commit that desire to Him and trust in Him and say, God, here it is. I know what you want me to do now. I commit it to you now. Will you help me cause that thing to come to pass? Help me to see it happen in my life. Let me show you another scripture in John chapter 15. Something Jesus said that if you understand what I just said, then this makes sense. If you don't, it could seem like something that could be confusing. John 15, let's begin reading in verse 4. Jesus is teaching. He says, abide in me, live in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, listen to verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire or you wish, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Now that's incredible. In verse 7 he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire, whatever you wish, your Bible may say, and it shall be done for you. Now why would he say you can ask whatever you desire? You know, some people could take that and say, well, whatever I come up with, then God has to give it to me. Because if I desire it, He's got to give it to me. Isn't that what Jesus said? That's not all He said, is it? You can't leave out the first part of that sentence. When He says, if you what? If you remain, if you abide, if you live in me, first of all. That means you're in His presence. You're delighting yourself in Him. You enjoy being in His presence. If you do that, and my words abide in you. My words abide in you. You see, you can get off on a tangent. You can go outside the will of God if you don't know what God's already said in His Word. It's not enough just to get a feeling from God or anointing from God. You've got to know what God's Word says, too, to judge whether what you're hearing and the desires that you have, whether or not they're from God. Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, you have to get the Word of God in you to make sure that you're conformed to His will, and not conform to the world's way of thinking. See, there's some prerequisites here. But he says, if you do this, if you abide in me, you're delighting yourself in me, you're loving me, you're in my presence, and my word is living in you, abiding in you, remaining in you. It's not something that you read one time 3 years ago, but the word of God is something you're putting in your heart every day. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire or what you wish, and it will be done for you. And it will be done for you. Now that's an incredible promise, but this is why he said it. Because if you're abiding in him, if you're delighting yourself in him, he will have molded you and shaped you to the point to where your desires are the same as his desires. And when you ask whatever you desire, you'll be asking what he desires too. Because he has changed you from the inside out. From the inside out. And that's what being a Christian is all about. We do want to live right. We want to do the right things, make the right decisions, say the right things. But we do the right things because something changed on the inside. Not because we try to do something on the outside to simply please God and earn our way into His presence. It's because we recognize we need an inside change. And that starts when we're born again. And then it begins to go from there. So how do you know whether the desires that you have are really from God? Well, look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. I like this prayer. I pray it for myself a lot and for other people a lot. Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit to pray this for the Christians there in Colossae, but it's just as good for us today. He said, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." He said, here's my prayer, and this is inspired by the Holy Spirit, so this is the will of God for every person here, that you would be filled to overflowing with the knowledge of His will. Filled to overflowing with the knowledge of His will and the wisdom of how to put His will into practice in your life. And this is why, so that you can have a walk worthy of the Lord and please Him. How could you please God if you didn't know what His will was? How could He expect you to please Him and do His will if He never told you what His will was? He says, this is how you can please Me, by knowing My will and having My wisdom, so that you can be fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Be fruitful in every good work. So here's a question that you can ask yourself. Is this desire from God? Well, what kind of fruit will it produce? What kind of fruit will this desire produce? If I go on and do this and begin to move toward this direction, what kind of fruit will it produce? Will it be a blessing to people? Will it help people? Or will it divide people? Will it put somebody down? Will it cause me to rise above someone else in the company by putting someone else down or getting them fired? That's not the fruit. That's not the fruit from God. What kind of fruit would it produce? Would it be a blessing to somebody? Would it help somebody? Would it lift somebody up? Would it help my family? Would it help my wife? Would it help my husband? Would it help our children? Would it line up with the Word of God? Would the fruit that it produces be good? Because God wants to fill you up with His desires, with His will, with His wisdom, so we can produce fruit. Let me share just two more scriptures with you in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 16 and verse 3. Proverbs 16, verse 3. My Bible says it this way, "Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established." But I want to read it out of the Amplified Bible, because this really gives a good amplification of what this scripture really says. It says, "Roll your works upon the Lord. Commit and trust them wholly to Him. He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to His will. And so shall your plans be established and succeed." I'm going to read that again. He says, "Roll your works upon the Lord. Commit and trust them wholly to Him. He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to His will. And so shall your plans be established and succeed." Back in 1979, we had some problems in our marriage. We'd been married a couple of years, and God had used a pastor there in Tulsa to help put our marriage back together. And I began to change, and I began to seek God and to delight myself in the Lord, something I hadn't really done before. But as I began to delight myself in the Lord, now I had very little Bible knowledge because I just hadn't done much of that. But I did begin to delight myself in the Lord. I began to abide in Him. I began to put Him as a focus of my life. And that summer, I began to get a stirring inside to have a desire. I got a brochure in the mail from this new church we had started going to. And the brochure said, "We're starting a Bible school this fall. It's called Victory Bible Institute." And the brochure told everybody about it. They just mailed it to the whole church mailing list. Starts in the fall, and it'll go Monday through Friday, 8 to 12 every day. And so I'm working as an engineer at that time. I think, well, what good does that do me? I'd like to go to that. That's a desire I would have. That'd be fun to go to Bible school someday. But, of course, I can't do that now because I'm working as an engineer. But what happened was this. I had been delighting myself in the Lord, and that desire that was in my heart to go to that Bible school someday, I thought, began to grow. It began to develop. It began to get stronger and stronger and stronger. And it changed where I began to think, well, you know, I'd like to go to that Bible school. Wonder how I could go to that Bible school. And it just wouldn't go away. And that's one way you can tell whether something's from God. Will it go away? Because you can have a desire. You know, ladies, you can go in the store, go in Dillard's to get a purse, and you come out with three dresses and a purse and who knows what. And we're no different. We go in Lowe's to get a screwdriver, and we come out with a $300 air compressor and all that. It was on sale, you know. And then you get home and you think, what did I buy that for? I don't need that. And you realize that was just an impulse. If you had waited a day, that desire wouldn't have been there anymore. It just was something to look cool, something you wanted to have. But a desire from God, see, it won't go away like that. The next day it'll be stronger. And the next week it'll be stronger. And the next month it'll be stronger. And that's the way it was with this. It just continued to get stronger and stronger and stronger in me. Wouldn't go away. I keep thinking, but I've got a job. I'm an engineer. I've got an engineering degree. I can't go to Bible school. But it just wouldn't go away. See, I had no teaching on how to hear from God. Didn't have an angel appear to me. Would have been simpler that way, but it's not the way it worked. And so I called the pastor of that church and I said, you got to help me out here. I'm trying to figure out if I'm supposed to go to your Bible school. How do I know whether this is God or the devil or whatever? And he said, well, I don't think it's the devil telling you to go to Bible school. I think he was right. And so I said, okay, I'm coming. I'm going. So I quit my job. And the miracle of it is God had provided Karen a teaching job. She has a teaching degree. And she taught school while I went to Bible school. So it was a wonderful time. We were just living in an apartment early in our marriage. Didn't have a lot of expenses. And so God opened that door. But the point of this is that He began to birth that with a desire inside of me. Began to birth that with a desire. Because I began to delight myself in Him. And then He began to mold me. Because He had a plan for my life. He knew I'd be here 20 years later. Of course, I had no idea. All I knew is I was supposed to go to Bible school. And so I took the first step. And that's an important thing. Once you get the desire and you've evaluated it from the Word of God, you've evaluated the fruit that it's going to produce, then you've got to begin to move toward the fulfillment of that desire. Because if you don't, this is what will happen. Look at Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13 and verse 12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. Now, in that particular instance, I was in terrible turmoil until I made the decision. And when I made the decision, turned in my resignation, then the peace came. Hallelujah. Because I knew I had made the right decision. Because the peace was there. He says, hope deferred. Now see, if I had not made that decision, I'd have been sick. Not physically sick necessarily, but sick inside. There would have been turmoil in me forever. Because I had a direction from God, a desire from God He had put in my heart. And I wouldn't step that way. But once I finally made the decision, said I'm going that way, the desire came to pass. Look at verse 19. It says, a desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. A desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. This is what I have found about God's direction, is that once God gives you direction, you won't get any more direction until you do what He told you to do the last time He told you to do something. I won't say that again. Once God tells you what He wants you to do, you don't need to fast and pray for the rest of your life about what to do next. You just need to do what He told you to do. Because until you do what He told you to do, He won't tell you to do anything else. Because He's waiting for you to be obedient to what He's already told you to do. When we moved from Tulsa to Montgomery, Alabama, it's a very similar kind of thing. I preached down in that area a couple of times and was working with managing a Christian television station there in Tulsa for a couple of years, and that station had sold, and so I was out of a job. I was working at the cable television there, but I wasn't in the ministry anymore for that time. And God began to stir my heart that we needed to be in Montgomery, Alabama. We had no family there, no friends there. We had no connection there. Had just been there, you know, a few months earlier and preached, but that was my only connection. But it's something that continued to grow and continued to just stay strong in my spirit I have a desire to move down there. So finally we just loaded up everything we owned in a Ryder truck and we moved. And it was the right thing to do. You see, there was turmoil. There was hope deferred making me sick. But finally, when I got ready and did the things I had to do and loaded the truck and we began to move, then the desire was accomplished. And it was sweet. See, maybe you have some things in your life. God's been stirring you. Some desires He's put in your heart. And maybe you just need to check them out right now. Maybe you need to check them against the Word of God. Check them if you've got godly friends. You can ask them. Just bounce it off of them. Not that they're going to give you the final direction, but it's okay to talk things over with friends. You've determined, maybe you need to determine what kind of fruit would this produce. Is this really from God or not? Maybe that's the first step for you. Maybe some of you have already been through all that and you know you have a desire in your heart and there's something inside of you that God's put in there that you haven't done it yet. And you're sick inside because of it. Well, it's time to stop that. It's time to make a decision before God and say, God, I'm going on. I'm going forward. I'm not going to be sick anymore. I want that sweetness of that desire fulfilled. I'm going to do what You put in my heart. If that's you, this is your day to make that commitment to God and say, yes, I'm going forward. I'm going to do what He's put in my heart to do. See, He has plans for all of us. You don't know where you'll end up. I had no idea where I'd end. All I knew was I was supposed to go to Bible school. And then I could list off all the things that have happened since then that I had no idea any of those things would happen. But none of them would have happened if I hadn't done the first thing, and that was obey what God told me back in 1979. Maybe some of you are in that place. God's waiting for you to take the first step. Waiting for you to say, yes, God. Maybe you've been crying out to God, give me more direction, give me more revelation, give me more understanding. And He's saying, just do what I told you to do already. And then I'll show you the next step. Let's stand up together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every head bowed and eyes closed, please. Nobody looking around, moving around. I have a question for you. Maybe some of you, when I talk about being born again, about asking Jesus in your heart, maybe when I mentioned earlier about do you know for sure if you're saved? Maybe some of you can't answer yes. When I said, do you know for sure if you were to die tonight that you'd spend eternity in heaven, that you can know that you have eternal life? Maybe some of you can't say that. Maybe you have a question. Maybe you've been trying to do all the right things and live right for God and you haven't understood. It's humbling yourself before Him and accepting that free gift of salvation that comes through Jesus. And then He begins to change you and you'll live right because of what He's doing on the inside. If that's you and you say, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I'm not sure.